All right. So do want to, again, say Happy Father's Day. And, you know, as a good father, sometimes we buy groceries and produce, meat at the grocery store, and we stick them into these bags, and sometimes the juice drips out from the meat or the produce. I like to collect the bags and then go recycle them. But the bags, sometimes they smell because the juice has dripped out from the meat. And so I had these bags in my trunk, car just this last week. And when I got into the car on Tuesday morning and I was driving Pamela and Daniel and their new diving friend Maddie to diving practice, I noticed this bad smell in the car. And I said, wow, we must have had a lot of drippings. We can just, drippings from the poultry this week. And so I was sitting in the Burger King doing some work while they were at practice. And then I noticed that my own satchel and this book bag had this smell within it. And I said, oh, forget it. I'm not going to wait to recycle my grocery bags. I just got to get those bags out of the trunk and into the trash can. So I ran out into my car and I got all these bags and I threw it away. I was going to go pick them up and throw them away. And then I noticed in the back there was one other bag. And so I pulled it up into the front. And as I opened up the bag, I saw that there were 2 pounds of catfish fillets that had been sitting in the trunk of my hot car for at least 24 hours, fumigating the whole back seat of my car and the rest of my car, so that even my guest, Maddie, she was very polite. She says she didn't tell, but I'm pretty sure she could tell, you know, fish just sitting there in the hot Houston sun for 24 hours, smelling up the whole car. So, of course, I quickly pulled that those fish fillets, and then I quickly took them into the Burger King, of course, and threw it away in the Burger King, as you know. Well, that's okay. I'm sure they empty their trash quite regularly. But passing on my goods to someone else there, right? And you know, that was a very wretched stench that morning. And you know, we've been going through the book of Ephesians, and we've been talking a lot about church unity in Ephesians. We've been talking about how Christ has established this new church between Jew and Gentile, and how this was a mystery that Paul was proclaiming, this new one man. And last week we talked about how we can pray to know the love of Christ, and as we know the love of Christ, our relationships with one another will improve. And just as unity can have a fragrant smell, just like a wonderful flower that may be out there, so disunity can have a very putrid smell about it. I don't know about you, but are you wrestling with conflict, with disunity? Is there disunity in your home, in your workplace? Certainly here at KCCC, we have gone through seasons of disunity. And when disunity happens, it smells, and even our guests and outsiders can detect it. So I want to continue this morning to talk about what Paul is talking about in Ephesians and how we can grow in our unity and become a fragrant smell to one another and to the outside world. So turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians 4. We're picking up right where we left off. Ephesians chapter 4. Paul has just finished the first 3 chapters. And in the first 3 chapters, it's all doctrine. It's truth. In fact, do you know how many commands there are in the first three chapters of Ephesians? There is only one command in chapter 2, verse 11, and that command is to remember. But once he hits chapter 4, we start talking about practice, and he gives out commands. There's over 40 commands in chapters 4 through 6. And as he starts off, he addresses us and he says, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord." Paul's credibility is his suffering. We can listen to him because he has suffered for the name of Christ. And so, as a prisoner of the Lord, I entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. And so, as Paul prepares to then give out his commands to us, we see that he wants us to live in unity because of our high calling. To live in unity because of our high calling. Again, walk. It's this word walk, which we can translate live. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. And as we reflect on chapters 1 through 3 and all that God has accomplished for us, all that he has called us to, we want to live to that standard. And just for the sake of review, this is all that God has called us to. We were chosen, predestined, redeemed, made an inheritance, sealed by the Holy Spirit, made alive, raised and seated in the heavenlies, been placed as one in the body of Christ. And so to this high calling that you have been called to, remember, you're an eagle. You're not a skunk. You're an eagle. And so in light of what God has called you to, that let us live together in unity. And so Paul explains what we are to do in verses 2 to 3. And he lists, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love. Verse 3, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so in verses 2 and 3, he teaches us how. Humility, this is the sense of considering others as more important than yourself. So right now, look at the person next to you. Go right ahead. Yeah, look at them. Now, that person is more important than you, according to Philippians 2, or just as important. Can you believe that, Kyle? Max is just as important or more important than you. You believe that, Kyle? The right answer is yes. Okay. And so as you walk in humility, this binds us together in unity. Pride promotes disunity. And so we want to live in unity. Okay. Gentleness. Gentleness is not weakness, but it's that sense of knowing when to be angry and when not to be angry. There's great strength in gentleness. And then we have patience, bearing with one another in love. Love, how do we define love? Love is seeking the highest good of the other person. And then being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit. Notice it doesn't say to be diligent to create the unity of the Spirit, right? But that unity is already there because of the one Holy Spirit. And so we simply must preserve that. And so, brothers and sisters, as we work together to serve God, we're going to come up with a lot of different opinions, a lot of different ideas. Some things are not right or wrong. For example, the kind of background that we should have as the words are being shown up on the screen for music. That's not a right or wrong issue. And as we talk about what kind of background to have for our music, we need to exhibit some patience and forbearance and gentleness as we express our opinions. But even in those issues that it's more clear that it's loving or unloving, then even in those areas, we must exhibit patience and forbearance with one another. For example, you may have a son or a brother or a mother who is very judgmental and critical. And that may actually be clearly unloving. And so, yes, pray for that family member. Yes, tell them how it comes across and how it impacts you. And that when you are judging me and so overly critical of me, it shames me. It puts me down. Yes, communicate that. Yes, talk to a friend and maybe have a group talk to this person about their criticalness. But even after you've talked with them, we have to exhibit some patience and some forbearance and bearing with one another as we're all works in progress and we're all in process trying to be sanctified in Jesus Christ. So as we seek to live in unity, let us exhibit these fruits, this fruit of the Spirit. So, will you right now, will you think of a person that you have a tough time getting along with? It might be your spouse. It might be a sibling. It might be a parent. It might be a coworker. It might be someone right here in this auditorium. And will you pledge right now to exhibit these qualities of humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance in preserving the unity of the Spirit with Deaconess Emily Sue and Pastor Wei? Okay, I had to pick on somebody. And whoever it is, fill in the blank. Will you make a pledge right now that by God's grace, yes, I will exhibit these qualities towards my spouse, towards my family member? Would you do that right now? Live in unity because of our high calling and because of our oneness. Look at the oneness, the connection, the unity that we already have in verses 4 to 6. There is one body. And so, if you are in junior high or going into junior high, can you say, one body? Thank you. That's talking about the body of Christ. There is just one body. There's not two bodies. There's one body of Christ. Next, he says, there's seven of these ones. One Spirit. If you are in senior high, can you say, one Spirit? I mentioned Andy. I should have said Andy. When I said Kyle. Kyle, can you in your gang say one Spirit? Thank you. Yes, there's only one Holy Spirit. There's not several Holy Spirits. There's one body, one Spirit. You were called in one hope of your calling. If you're in college, can you say, we got to give the college students a little bit longer of a phrase, right? They're the educated among us. Can we say one hope of our calling? Thank you. It's all that we've talked about in Ephesians chapters 1 through 3, all that God has called us to. One Lord. If you have graduated from college and are working, can you say that? One Lord. One Lord. Hey, we got a lot of working people in here. One faith. Okay. We'll... One baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. This oneness, this unity that we have because of that, let us live together in unity. One faith, we have faith in one person, Jesus Christ. One baptism, that's probably talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12:13. We've all been baptized by the Holy Spirit. And so there's even this Trinitarian theme here. One Lord, one faith in Jesus Christ. One baptism, the Holy Spirit. One God and Father of all. Even in the Trinity, there's unity. And there's a modeling of unity, of oneness. And because of that oneness we have, let us live together in unity with one another. And so, as a sign of our oneness, we're going to try to do this. Let's all hold hands. Can we hold hands with people next? Okay, the guy's been there. I'm not going to hold hands with the guy next to me. All right, I'm not going to make us. Okay, let's hold hands. Let's hold hands. Okay, we don't have to cross. Okay, we are one, right? We're one. You want to sing a song? We are one in the bond of Kumbaya, my Lord. Okay. All right. Thank you. We are one. So let us live together in unity, in humility, gentleness, patience. So live in unity because of your high calling. And then now in verses 7 through 16, Paul is going to exhort us that this will also unite us as we all recognize that we each have a gift. We each have a part to play. And let us use those gifts to build up the body of Christ in our one goal. So in verses 7 through 16, you have a gift. Use it to grow the body of Christ. Verse 7 says, to each one of us, grace, this is this word charisma, was given, a grace gift was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. God has given each one of you a gift, and he's also determined the amount of the gift that you have. A measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, verse 8, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Here Paul is drawing on Psalm 68, verse 15. And there, the triumphant warrior conquers the enemy. He goes up on Mount Zion, and he receives gifts or booty from his conquered enemies. But here, instead of receiving gifts from his conquered foes, Paul is saying, he's kind of twisting it around here. He's saying, I give out gifts to my followers who have conquered with me. And so Jesus is our triumphant warrior. And it's similar to Alexander the Great, when he invaded Persia and he overtook the capital. And there were treasures in that palace. And he distributed, he gave out the gifts to his fellow generals and shared in the booty with them. Well, here, Jesus is giving out gifts to each one of his followers. And in he gave gifts to men. Now, this expression, he ascended, what does it mean? Except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth. This is probably talking about how Jesus came to the earth and to the lower parts of the earth, possibly a reference to his burial, to his death, and through that, how he conquered sin and death and Satan. And he who descended, verse 10, is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And so, because he was triumphant, he has the right to distribute these gifts. And so just think of Jesus. He is our triumphant warrior. And he has descended into the earth, and he has conquered sin and death and Satan, and he doesn't receive gifts back from them, but having conquered them, he now distributes gifts to each one of us, to each one of you. Now in verses 12 to 16, he elaborates on this a little bit more. And in verse or 11 to 16, verse 11, he talks about some of these foundational gifts. So in verse 11, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. So praise God, he has called some to be apostles. These five gifts are again more foundational, and they prepare all the saints for works of service. Apostles are probably modern day missionaries, those who go and establish churches where there are no Christians. It can also be used to mean the 12 and Paul, those who were with Jesus. But here in our context today, it's probably this gift of going to these unreached areas and establishing churches. He gave some as apostles and some as prophets, those who take the word of God for exhortation, edification, and comfort. In the New Testament, it may also have a predictive element of foretelling the future, and also of new revelation before the canon was complete. But for our purposes today, we can think of the gift of prophecy or the gift of the prophet as one who takes the word of God and uses it to edify and comfort and exhort and encourage. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, those who continually proclaim the gospel and win others to Christ. And even though some have the gift of evangelism in 2 Timothy 4, we're all commanded to do the work of an evangelist. But some are gifted in this area. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, those who shepherd the people of God. It has this sense of a leader and one who also administers the activities of the church, who cares for the sheep. And then lastly, teachers, those who take the word of God and instruct others, not only for head knowledge, but for life application. All pastors are probably all teachers, although not all teachers are necessarily pastors. Okay, but these are five of the gifts that then equip everyone else in the church with their spiritual gifts to do the work of growing up the body of Christ. And we see that again in verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. These are some of the goals. Again, the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, not just a head knowledge, but a dynamic relationship to a mature man. I think here this is talking about, again, the corporate man, the new man that we have in Jesus Christ, in the church, between Jew and Gentile. It's the one new man. So again, there's a corporate nature of maturing, a unity of the faith, a mature man to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Jesus is our standard, not only for individual spiritual growth, but for corporate and unified spiritual growth. Verse 14, what do we not want to happen? Because the foundational gifts are training others, and everyone is exercising his or her spiritual gift. We don't want this to happen in verse 14. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. We don't want to be held captive to all the teachings that are out there. And so I just want to caution us. You know, there's a lot of preachers out there on TV and a lot of teaching on the internet. And we have to filter everything through the Word of God. I was just at the auto shop yesterday and interacting with the manager there. And he was saying, oh yeah, I listened to this guy on TV and he talks about having positive energy and healing with positive energy. And I was like, woo, wow, I don't know about this, you know. And he, But he's looking at that on TV, and he goes, "Hey, yeah." And then I listen on 105.7 and Back to the Bible, and I'm like, "Yeah, Back to the Bible. That's a good program. Listen to that, you know." So we have to be careful and discerning. You know, there's going to be people out there who are going to come up to you and say, "Oh, if you go see the doctor, then you are not showing faith in God. You just have to pray and don't go see the doctor, because then you're not exercising faith in God." Well, is that true? Run that through the grid of Scripture. Don't be caught up like a child who's listening to this cable TV preacher and that internet preacher and just going on the waves and tossed here and fro, and then you don't go see the doctor. Okay, so run everything through the grid of Scripture, and it's those in the church, as we're exercising the gifts, our gifts, then we help one another grow up and not be like that. But verse 15 tells us, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto Him who is the head, even Christ. And so as we are truthful with one another, we help build one another up. And so, yes, let us counsel one another. Let us exhort one another. Let us, in love, challenge one another. And let us do it face to face, directly to the person. You know, as Stan and others are in San Francisco ministering this week, they're going to run into some problems as they try to work together. You know, maybe one girl is going to want to go to sleep early, and another girl wants to stay up and do something on her iPhone. And so they're going to need to communicate and be truthful with one another, but hopefully they're going to do it directly with one another. We don't want person A, let's just call her Sue since she's not on the trip, has a problem with Jane, but telling Margaret, okay, I got this problem. We got to talk to people face to face and directly, speaking the truth in love, being truthful with one another in love. And verse 16 tells us, again, reminds us of the big goal, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which some of the body supplies. Is that what it says in your Bible? That the whole body is being fitted and held together by what some of the pastors and the ministers and the deacons provide. No. Every joint, every connection, every member has to play its part according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. You have a spiritual gift. Use it to grow the body of Christ. And so I want to challenge you to think through, what is your part on the team? Are you the guard? Are you going to be dribbling up the ball? Are you going to be taking the shot? Are you going to be boxing out on the rebound? Play the part on the team. Because I have a dream. God has a dream, and I have a dream. I have a dream that all of Katy, every man, woman, and child in Katy will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I have a dream that we, as Katy Christian Community Church, will reach every Chinese person in Katy with the gospel. Every man, woman, and child. I have a dream that we, as Katy, will play that part in the big picture. And how many Chinese are in Katy? 5,000? 10,000? I have a dream that KCCC can reach every Chinese. And I have a dream that Katy can reach every Asian in Katy, in our high schools. I go to my children's activities and I finally see some other people named Lee, you know, or she or whatever. And I go up and I talk to them and I try to get to know them. And I have a dream that we can reach every Asian
And I have a dream that we can not only reach Asians, but we can reach English-speaking neighbors in our community, at school, at work, in our neighborhoods. And I have a dream that we can reach the least reached here in Katy, those who are shut off from the gospel because of their culture, because of their language, because of their religious background. I'm talking about Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists. I have a dream that we as Katy Church can reach and grow up the body of Christ, and that we can send out missionaries to the ends of the earth and to the unreached, and establish and grow up the body of Christ to the ends of the earth. Friends, like Martin Luther King Jr., I have a dream! Will we join together in the dream of God and play our part to grow up the body of Christ to the ends of the earth? Are you in? Max, are you in? Great. All right. So what we want to do right now, we want to pass out some sheets. We want to pass out some sheets, and we want to see, is God, do you know what part God wants you to play? We have many ways that we can participate and help grow up the body of Christ. Go ahead, everybody, take one. Now, I would like everyone to fill out this sheet, and I just have some ways. What is the part that you can play in growing up the body of Christ until we all reach a mature man? And again, anything from roping off our chairs to helping out with music to serving on the missions committee to being an evangelist to discipleship, and as we work together in unity, it can be a fragrant smell. It can be beautiful music. And so, please, fill this out. And maybe you don't know right now. And you can just say, and if you need a pen or a pencil, we can help with that. And maybe you have something different. You know, I didn't even put folding the bulletins on there. But, you know, we have a group of ladies who come out every Friday and they spend 1 or 2 hours of their time folding the bulletins. A very critical part of growing up the body of Christ. So, if you would like to participate in being that finger, that eyelid, that toenail, that hand in the body of Christ, because you're all a part of it. You're all a part of the body. Some of you are doing it already. You're helping in children's church. You're teaching Sunday school. You are greeting new people. You are caring for the hurting. And please continue in your role. But maybe some of you haven't yet discovered what is your part in growing up the body of Christ. And we want to help you discover what that is. Take a minute. I saw this was on display wonderfully, not only in the local church, but in the big church overall. Just in this last week, we've heard so many tragedies coming out of Florida. And this last week, we heard of one more tragedy that maybe some of you don't even know, but I will share with you a lady who has participated in some of the small groups, in our Chinese-speaking small groups. They were vacationing. She was vacationing with her two young children and her husband in Florida maybe a week or two ago. And while she was there, her husband drowned. 37 years old, and many gathered around the beach while they were there, and one of the people who was gathering there were affiliated with a church in Florida, and the church just took it upon themselves, and they cared for this family. They bought them plane tickets back here to Houston. They paid for the transport of her car, her family's car, all the way back here to the Katy area. They contacted a fellow church here in Katy who contacted us because we have Chinese language ministry skills. And then we got in touch with this lady. And it was just, it was a very sad, a very grievous what happened. But it was also a testimony of how the big body of Christ all can work together to care and to grow up those who are in need and growing up the body of Christ. And I love seeing the body of Christ work together, even in these very difficult times. And I love seeing the body of Christ when we set up for lunch and everybody working together to set up the chairs. And as we seek to make disciples, let us all work together. Okay, thank you. If you have that, you can turn it back into our ushers. And we'd love for you to fully participate as we seek to grow together in unity. You know, one of the best ways to grow in unity is having a common goal and being united in that common goal and working together with it. So today, friends, we've seen that we want to live together in unity because of our high calling and because we are one. We are one. And that you have a spiritual gift. You have a gift, each one of you. Use it to grow up the body of Christ. Don't let it sit there flaccid. My children are involved in band and orchestra. And, you know, in the band, you have people playing the trumpet. You have people playing the trombones. You have people playing the flute. You have the person in the back who bangs on the percussion at the right time. And everybody is important. Every instrument has to play its part so that you can have beautiful music like The Empire Strikes Back or Les Miserables. And as each instrument, as each part plays its part, you have a beautiful symphony. And so, friends, and they go on these trips, and they have one goal in mind as they go to San Antonio or Austin or Indianapolis, and as they travel together, and that is to make beautiful music together. But you know, when they're on those trips, and they're sitting next to one another on the bus, and you know, they got BO next to them, and you got to get along. They're going to have some conflicts. There are going to be some run-ins and some issues, and they have to work things out together as a full band or as a full orchestra. And friends, we are like the band. We are like the orchestra. And we have a goal. We want to make beautiful music for God and grow up His body of Christ. But as we do so, we're going to rub shoulders, and we're going to be sitting next to each other, and some of us are going to smell, and we're not going to like it, and we have to work things out. But as we work things out in unity and humility and gentleness and patience, we can make beautiful music for God and growing up His body.